I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. It's a pleasure to welcome Victor Davis Hanson, Senior Fellow of the Hoover Institution, writing in American Greatness in the National Review Online. I call upon Victor, though, to combine his most recent columns in observations of not just the Biden administration, but Joe Biden himself. This isn't about Joe Biden being forgetful or perhaps mangling a sentence in the middle of a paragraph. This is about Joe Biden presenting himself as an extremely different person than the one he was on the campaign trail or even in the first weeks of his presidency as he was signing all those executive orders. It would appear, and I follow the reporting by Holman Jenkins in the Wall Street Journal editorial page, the op-ed, it would appear that Mr. Biden is most keen to listen to activists. And these are activists who are extreme examples of single-issue candidacies around the country. But they are now in the Oval Office, or at least influencing the Oval Office, with what you'd have to say are surprising policies. Victor, we thought the cancellation of the Keystone XL pipeline was a bridge too far. We thought, no, surely Joe Biden can't mean to repudiate the unions who put him in power. Surely Joe Biden can't mean that he's going to disintegrate or devolve the pipelines of America and push the oil back onto trucks and rail cars, the more unsafe way to transfer it. Surely he can't mean all this. It turns out that was the moderate Joe Biden in the first weeks. Is he a radical now? Is there a word for what Joe Biden has become? Good evening to you, Victor.
Good evening. I think he is a radical, but I don't think he has an ideological basis for it other than he's 78 years old. The focus of the party, the weight of the party is on the hard left. The Silicon Valley money, the media, social media, Wall Street corporate is woke. And he's made a decision that at my age, do I really want to play the old Joe Biden from Scranton, moderate? He doesn't. And that was pretty clear during the campaign. He either didn't say anything, or to the extent that he said something, it was pretty radical. So I had a couple of, you know, articles suggesting that he was not going to be old Joe Biden, the moderate, because he didn't want to face the opposition. And more importantly, he was sort of upset as the understudy under Obama, and that he had never, you know, he was not treated very well in his view. He was never given status commensurate with his perceived talents. And now I think he feels that he's going to do more than Obama ever even imagined. He's going to do it just in one term and doesn't really care about the political consequences because he probably won't run for a second term. So I think public, whether it's policies or the process is even scarier, whether getting rid of the filibuster or getting rid of the Electoral College or the voting compact or a new state. But he's going to be very radical. And I think it's his way of saying to his left, I'm more iconic than Obama ever was. And to the moderates and the Republicans, I don't care what you say or do. I'm not going to be here in 4 years, but I'm going to be famous. And I think that's what we should expect him to do.
The National Review Online reported recently that Mr. Biden entertained historians in the Oval Office at the beginning of this month. And the historians flattered him by saying that you have an opportunity to be bigger than the New Deal, bigger than the Great Society, bigger than FDR, bigger than LBJ. And I don't know that Mr. Biden said, yes, I can do all that. But certainly in his presentation of the spending and the taxing, he is taking on a program that does resemble the failure of the Great Society. Times what? Times five? Times six? I don't think Lyndon Johnson ever knew the word trillion. I'm sure he would have embraced it. But Joe Biden embraces the word trillion as if it was matter of fact.
Yeah, I don't think he believes money is a construct and doesn't really have to be paid. Or if it does have to be paid, sort of gorge the beast, and then you can get your necessary social redistribution by forcing wealthy people to give up their capital. So the opposite of starve the beast that Reagan kind of operated on. You spend so much money, you have to tax the wealthy, and that's the point. You get their money and give it to other people more than what they consider deserving. I think we should keep in mind that LBJ had a huge, you remember that, we're old enough, John, that after the demolishing of Barry Goldwater the goodwill shown the Democrats after the JFK assassination. He just stormed through that election. He won, I think, all but one, but Arizona. He had a huge popular vote. He had a huge electoral college. He had a huge majorities in the Senate and the House. And so did FDR in 32. And Barack Obama, for all of Trump's criticism, he did win a large electoral college victory in 2008. He had a super majority, as you remember, in the Senate for 2 years. And he had in the House, I think it was 69 seats. It was a big margin. So they all had mandates for their radical proposals, whether it was Obamacare or the Great Society or the New Deal. Joe Biden doesn't. He was a very close election electoral college. He 50-50 in the Senate. I don't know, 7 or 8 seats. It depends on who's where at what point in the House. So he's pushing through an agenda. And, you know, I saw that about the historians. You know, John Meacham, I guess he's a historian, but he's mostly connected with the politicalization of Newsweek that kind of ran it into the ground by trying to make it a leftist organ. And then there's Michael Beschloss. I have no problem with him, but he declared Barack Obama the smartest man ever to become president before he'd even really been in office. And then Doris Kearns Goodwin, I mean, she's had a lot of problems with plagiarism. So those are not independent historians that will talk truth to power is what I'm getting at.
Because we're living with discovering Joe Biden at this point, and you observe that he'll run for one term, and maybe that is liberating in some fashion. But, Victor, there seems to be a haste that can only be explained by the election calendar, as if the White House understands they have until November of 22, and they're going to rush everything through, no matter what the American people think. Now, that's a recipe to hand the majority back to the Republicans in 22. So can we survive Joe Biden's radical ideas? Can we survive him chastising whole states because they want to protect their election like 40 other states? Can we survive all that? Because as you say in your articles, he's divisive.
Well, yeah, he's now enlisted corporations. So whoever thought in their right mind that Major League Baseball would join the woke minority, and that's what they've done. And they've done it over nothing because, as you know, the Georgia laws are much less restrictive, if that's the word, than Delaware, Joe Biden's machine state that he basically ran with his family and his friend. And it's much less restrictive than Colorado's, where they're moving the game. So it makes no sense other than the whipped up frenzy of the left and then Joe Biden's activism, and whether it's Delta or Disney or Coke, this is what they're doing. And they're going to have a reckoning, I think, in the midterms, although some think that we'll be in this easy, funny money, pin-up demand boom still, and that will get them through. But I don't think they care. I think they feel that they can do everything they want in 2 years, and Joe Biden will not be around in 4, and he'll be famous. And they'll get all of this institutionalized. And this is, you know, the fate, as specifically to answer your question, John, can we survive it? It really depends on Joe Manchin and Simmons, or the Arizona senator, whether they stop the filibuster or whether they get it through or whether they, whatever manifestation it ends up at. But if they get rid of the filibuster, then I would expect that everything from court packing to new states in the union to de facto end of the electoral college, all that we're going to see. We're going to see a national voting law, which is pretty unconstitutional. It's going to override all the individual state mandates and statutes. And it's not for the 18-year-old vote or women's suffrage that the Constitution allows for extraordinary situations. It's a holistic effort to make sure that 62% who did not vote on election day in 2020 gets up to 80 or 90%.
The other question, Victor, and we've raised this before, and there's no answer to it, but it's a puzzle. Oftentimes when Joe Biden makes remarks that seem magical, I wonder if he knows what he's talking about. Do you get the same impression that he just says things and doesn't have a memory when he invents stories?
Yeah, I mean, I looked at a picture on December 21st of him getting the shot. Then I heard him say that there was no vaccinations available to any American until he was inaugurated. I heard him say that these laws are like Jim Crow, even though African Americans had been voting at a higher rate of registered voters than whites had in the 2008 and 2012 election in states like Delaware and Colorado that had more restrictive laws. So I don't know what he's talking about sometimes. I don't think he knows entirely what he's talking about, but it's all predicated on the lack of deterrence, if I could use that word. In other words, he knows that there's not going to be a moderate wing of the party that objects. He knows that the social media lynch mob or Washington Post or New York Times or NBC or CNBC or MSNBC or CNN, they're not going to come after him and say, here's another lie, here's another incoherent utterance, the way they did constantly with Trump. So if you don't have deterrence, you can say anything. And it's not good for him to know that the media is completely obsequious.
Final detail about Joe Biden before we turn to foreign policy. The border, the wall, the tragedy that's going on with these migrants coming by the thousands and tens of thousands, and you know it's just beginning. It's not seasonal. There is the word out around the world to make your way to South America, to Central America, and to crash the border. Does Joe Biden know about this? Do you get the sense that he's being told how bad it is and that the authorities are overwhelmed?
I think he's being told that whatever Trump was for in the border, it's good to be against, and that his party is for this, and it's going to help flip Georgia and Texas and Arizona the way it flipped New Mexico and Colorado and Nevada and California. And after that, he doesn't know anything. If you were to say to Joe Biden, you took an oath to faithfully execute the laws of the United States and you're not enforcing them, and that's an impeachable offense, you're not going to follow U.S., federal immigration law, or you're causing the very humane crisis, humanitarian crisis that you accuse Donald Trump of using, the same types of detention that you so exaggerated in the case of Donald Trump, or you stopped his wall and caricatured it, and yet they're not coming over his wall. They're going right through where you stopped construction. If you said all of that, I don't think it would register. I don't think he's oblivious. All he knows is if Trump was for something, I'm against it. The left wing of my party agrees with me, and it's good politics, and, marginalized people will get their say, and they're going to vote Democratic. And does he believe? Does he have any empathy? Absolutely not for the people coming across. Does he care that he's sort of broken the deal he had with Obrador and the Mexican government? No. Does he care about El Salvador's, some of the Central American governments are saying, please don't do that? No. No, no, no. He doesn't care to the extent that he knows about it.
I'm speaking with Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution. We're talking about President Biden and the unusual presentation he's making, given his reputation for nearly 50 years in Washington and also on the campaign trail last year. We're going to turn to foreign affairs because our adversaries are also watching President Biden and asking questions about, is this the moment to take on the United States? I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.